Hello, and welcome to the Heart Journey podcast show. Do you know what your name means? My name is Dr. Barbara Jean Losove. I'm a minister, and I also happen to be a psychologist. This podcast show is a work of ministry, so I'm coming to you exclusively from a Christian worldview, my own Christian worldview that goes back, or the Christian worldview goes back millennia, and that is my worldview. And it goes back much, much farther than psychology. But on this show, we also do look at where psychology meets the supernatural and where we start from our Christian worldview, and we look at where psychology aligns with that. Okay, my name. Do you know what your name means? I often find there's prophetic significance in names. Now, the scripture talks about God's going to give us, I believe it's a stone, a white stone, and on it is going to be written our new name. I'm not sure if I got that quite right. That's in Revelations, but he is going to give us a name that's known only to us. Names are important. God calls you beloved. God calls you holy in his sight by the blood of Jesus. God speaks his word over you, and his word is the life, your living breath. God breathed life into you, and your name has significance. You are important to this world. My name means Barbara, strange person. Think about barbarian. Jean, grace. Low, and Sauve means saved in French. So I am a strange person. I always admit I'm a little extra. A strange person that grace found. So she walks low because she is saved. And you know, God dwells with the lowly, the contrite. God dwells in a high and lofty place and also with the contrite. So as we come into episode 3 of From Codependence to Christ Dependence, I want you to remember, if you are feeling convicted, God dwells with the contrite. It's a good thing. So welcome back to the Heart Journey podcast. Last week, we talked about the cross and the cure and how Jesus bore our striving. Codependency, trying to fix other people, trying to fearing people, pleasing people, trying to control people. All this is the work of the flesh. It is the mind of flesh, and it leads to darkness. It leads to mental health problems. But a life controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, Romans 8 tells us. And today we're going to step into resurrection and rest, how to live free from codependence. This is episode 3 of our series on From Codependence to Christ Dependence. We have more episodes to come. Romans 6:4 says, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. Now that feels like, sometimes it feels like, but you don't understand how strong these feelings come up when I feel abandoned, or when my partner uses, or when I see my child struggling. These feelings are so strong. Yes, they are. It is our flesh, but it's also where the past is present. It feels like it's about the here and now, but it's actually the echoes from our shadow self, the echoes from our past, where we have unmet needs, where we have traumas, where we have even wounds from the enemy that have compiled over time and scarred us on the inside, deep within, in our implicit memory. Think about how you know how to ride a bike if you learned how to ride a bike when you were little. You could get one on one and ride it because you have implicit memory, and that's motor memory. Well, we also have implicit emotional memory. So when we see certain situations, we're triggered to move into fight, flight, fawning. Fawning is all that pleasing behavior. Let me fix it. Let me make it right. Let me fix it. Let me make it right. Collapse, control, all these other pieces where we're not in the mind of Christ. So the cross ended striving, and the resurrection began rest. Holy Spirit, let us, help us, live from fullness of life. You know, what I'm saying seems so logical and good, but the struggle is real. Because remember, we went all the way back. We went all the way back to the first family, and we saw codependence there in our first two episodes. So codependency is not just relational dysfunction. It's spiritual misalignment. Codependency is spiritual misalignment. It's actually a worship disorder. I said that, a worship disorder, where we're worshiping the image of God rather than the true God, because the image of God is in us, Imago Dei. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. And oh, that's so true. And this restlessness in our soul can drive us. It fuels us being the rescuer, the fixer, the performer, the control. If we really admit it, a lot of this codependent behavior, I would say probably all of it, is about control so that we can have our needs met. It seems on the outside to be loving. We might even convince ourselves that it's loving, but it's still us trying to siphon out of others what we need. And it's usually what only God can meet. Now, we do need people, but we need God more. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and dug cisterns that cannot hold water. Jeremiah 2:13. So that's codependency, chasing empty cisterns, trying to pump water out of empty wells, digging cisterns, creating cisterns, trying to glue together pots so that, you know, fix other people so that they can pour water into us. It's like a broken piece of pottery and the other person, we're trying to glue you together and fix you so that you can then be filled up and fill into me. Oh, beloved, for those who come to him, rivers of living water flow from them. We actually have the opportunity to have overflow, but we must hit that bottom in that contrite place of saying, I can't do it without Christ, and Christ is really what I need. And even if you've received Christ, I'm not talking about salvation. If you haven't received Christ as far as salvation, I encourage you to make him the Lord of your life and live for him. But if you're trying to live for him, we're talking about areas of surrender. Only Jesus was 100% surrendered to the Father. We're working to get 100% surrendered, to lay down our soul life. In fact, Curtis Chang says, anxiety is the signal flare of an unsurrendered place. And he says every place where we're in that rumination, where we're worrying, where we're circling, it is a place that we have not surrendered to the cross. Curtis Chang calls anxiety the signal flare of an unsurrendered place. It's not our enemy, actually. Anxiety is our invitation to surrender more deeply to Christ. You see, we're thinking, I can't go through that. If they find that out about me, I can't go through that. Or if that person doesn't love me, I just can't. I don't want to go through that. So I'm going to try to control. Anxiety can be the invitation to control, and even worry is a form of trying to control. Or anxiety can be our invitation to saying, there's something I'm trying to control, and it's not mine to carry. It can be an invitation for us to lay that worry down at the cross and let God bring whatever resurrection he wants to bring. The kingdom pattern is the opposite of the fear pattern. The fear pattern is fear and then control, trying, striving in the flesh, exhaustion, shame and false guilt, moving us to fear and trying again, trying, striving. But the kingdom pattern is surrender, trust, peace, presence, and power. Remember, your place of peace is your place of power. Your place of peace is your place of power. Remember that Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious about anything. But by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 3:7 says, casting the whole of your care upon him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. The Greek word for guard in this Philippians 4 means to station a guard like a sentry around your heart. When we surrender God and his kingdom, his angels, his spirit literally become our watch guards. Let's talk about the neuroscience of surrender. Dr. Andrew Nirberg is what we call a neurotheologian, and he has studied what happens during prayer and worship for decades. And he has found that when you pray, the amygdala, the fear centers, quiet down. When we pray, our fear quiets down. Neuroscience is showing us this. And the prefrontal cortex up here, our higher brain, functions in more wisdom, compassion, and self-regulation. Our prefrontal cortex is activated when we pray. And over time, this builds what Dr. Andrew Nirberg calls the neural circuitry of secure attachment to God. I told you about my story about my mom and my dad in the last podcast. There's no reason why I should feel secure calling my father God, daddy God, but yet it's my favorite. He's my favorite person, daddy God. He's absolutely my favorite person. In his book, How God Changes Your Brain, he teaches that 12 minutes a day of loving, focused prayer for 8 weeks literally rewires your brain. In Heart Journey, we think about the heart as a place that's renovated by God. It's restored. Attachment to God restores us. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. I know that sometimes you feel like what you really need is not God, but that person's love. But I'm telling you, it's a lie. Remember, the first lie was you can get something outside of what God showed you you can have. And then Adam chased Eve in that. But that is the lie of the enemy, is always God's holding out on you. You can get something greater outside of God. But he is our source. He is the vine. Neuroscience confirms when you abide in love, your brain heals. And when you live in fear, your brain inflames. Fear inflames your brain. Love rewires, restores your brain. God is love. We want our brain literally soaking in love. I think about when people have organs soaking in that fluid to preserve them. We don't want that because those are dead brains. But think about your brain soaking in the atmosphere of God's love. There's an ecosystem around you that you can't even see, a spiritual ecosystem, where either angels or the demonic are drawn to you, where certain types of people can be drawn to you, where there's a flourishing in the spirit around you, where there's peace around you, or there's not. There's the opposite. Even as Christians, we can hide our light. But God says, put your light on a hill. Be salt. So, beloveds, I'm talking to you about changing how you think, changing how you worship, being soaked in the Spirit. All right, so where do all these problems come from? Well, obviously the sinful nature and how that is passed down for generations. So the roots of codependency are don't talk, don't feel, and don't trust that we're brought up in. In dysfunctional families, love was inconsistent or unsafe. Children learn the unwritten rules. Don't talk, don't feel, don't trust. And this can even happen in Christian families where parents don't want their children to be negative or talk about negative feelings. And so to survive this atmosphere of in a positive toxic positivity, or this atmosphere of dysfunction, we develop certain rigid roles. We might become the hero, the responsible one, the perfect one, the scapegoat, the rebel who absorbs the family chaos, the lost child who's invisible, avoids conflict, but is very anxious on the inside and no one sees it. The mascot, the joker who lightens pain. Maybe you're the enabler, the one who fixes and caretakes after the whoever the addict or the person who's acting out is. Or you might become the addict. Sometimes the addict isn't even actually using a substance. It could be behavioral addictions. It could even be a rage addiction. It can be someone that acts like a rageaholic or an alcoholic, even though they're not using any drugs or alcohol. So each role is a survival mechanism to try to keep the family stable, because when a dysfunctional family rocks, everyone shakes, and dysfunctional families have more chaos. And so everyone on the inside of them is afraid of that chaos. And so they use these dysfunctional, rigid patterns to try to bring stability, but it's unhealthy stability. And we develop fragmentation. We develop a false self. Carl Jung called this the shadow self, the part of us that stays exiled to be loved. And Jesus, beloved Jesus, steps right into that shadow self. He steps right in and loves you right there. He wants to encounter you. He is the light that shines in the darkness, and he wants to make his home right in your dark place. Remember the triangle of pain that we talked about in the last episode, where we get stuck on that drama triangle of being the victim, the rescuer, or the persecutor. The victim is poor me and feel sorry for themselves. I'm not going to be okay until you help me. The rescuer is, you're not going to be okay, and I'm not going to be okay until I fix you. And then the persecutor is, it's your fault, and they're blaming. Dysfunctional families have a lot of blame in them, and blame goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. It's the first sign of sin and dysfunction, or one of the first signs. So codependency spins here endlessly, victim, rescuer, persecutor, and we get on the triangle of pain and we bounce around. And maybe when you start feeling sorry for yourself, I try to fix you, but then you persecute me. So I feel sorry for myself. Then maybe you try to fix and I don't like to be fixed. So I persecute you. Oh my goodness, on and on we go. But when we abide in alignment with Christ, when we hold our peace instead of fawning and fixing or persecuting and feeling sorry for ourselves, we come from that place of power. We come from that place where we are stepping into our Imago Dei identity and being a co-creator with God. We were created in the image of God as a creator, and we co-create with him. Jesus steps into our triangle and says, beloved, you don't need to do anything but what I show you to do. And it takes so much of the pressure off. In John 5:19, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. And in fact, when we receive this rest of only doing what the Father is doing, it's like a resistance. It's like there's a book called Sabbath as Resistance. And rest is a form of resistance against the flesh. And rest is a form of engaging with the Spirit, because Hebrews talks about this offer, this rest for God's people still stands. And so we can let go of this false self, and where we're striving, saying the false self says, if I'm good enough, I'll be loved. And the true self says, I'm loved, therefore I am free. Oh, beloved. I want to take you through an encounter, and also I have a free resource for you. But I want, we're talking about the light and Jesus coming into our darkness. And when I was preparing this podcast, I felt like the Lord showed me an encounter to bring you in. And so I wonder if you can get comfortable. If you're driving, please focus on your driving. But if you're in a cozy place, I wonder if you could close your eyes and imagine. Think about the pain and the darkness on the inside of you, these places that hurt. And it's almost like feeling like you're a little child. Think about a child that is 6 or under, maybe you're 3, maybe you're 2 years old, and it's completely dark. And you're worried, you're all alone in this darkness. Let the fear come up, this feeling of panic, this feeling of fear that you feel in this codependency cycle. Am I all alone in life? How can I get the love I need? Feeling the darkness. And in that place, I wonder if you could imagine yourself lifting up your hand, just lifting up your hand, thinking, my Father told me He'd be with me in the darkness. And I wonder if you could imagine the Father's hand sliding into yours, and you know that hand, you recognize the Father's hand, and you grab that warm hand, and you realize His leg is right there, and you grab His leg, and I wonder if you can imagine Him patting your head, pulling you close, telling you everything is okay, clinging to His hand and letting the warmth fill you even in that dark place. And then I wonder if you can imagine the light of the Father beginning to fill up the room, that dark place, filling it up. Light, warm light coming upon you, filling the room in every way. The Father looking at you, smiling with the warmest, kindest eyes, and you soften into knowing you're never alone. Your Father is always with you. I want you to focus on the scripture, Psalm 27:10. Though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. In fact, in verse 1 talks about He is our light. He is our shield. Beloved, He wants to take that dark restlessness and give you rest. We're going to talk more about that in this next podcast. Again, we're in a series. For now, I want you to remember your morning assignment. Every morning, I want you to ask the Father, what are you doing today? And ask Him that throughout the day. Father, what are you doing? Remember your micro surrenders. Each time control arises, exhale. Jesus, I trust you. I lay this down. Remember pausing and remembering the breath, that Jesus is right there in your breath. I want to encourage you to do some writing this week. Journal on where am I trusting people to be my source instead of you, and ask the Father, ask Him, show me, Lord, and show me what the keys are to trusting you. I sense this week as you do that, God's dropping keys. God just showed me that. Keys are coming forth, keys of wisdom. Because for some of you, you've been in these situations for so long that you've tried. you do not know how to stop these codependent cycles. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to drop keys because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. His spirit is going to break this off you. I also want to ask that you confess your sin and ways that you are living in people-pleasing to some safe people who will pray for you. Because the scripture says, is anyone sick? Let him go to the elders and let him lay hands on him, pray for him, and any sins will be forgiven and he'll be healed. And there's other places that talk about laying on of hands and then confessing our sins brings healing. And so we confess these sins to God and to one another. And I feel like that is a key. And for some of you, you need to get some people faithfully praying over you in this area. I sense that there are some people listening that have been stuck in dysfunctional, addictive relationships for a while. And you want to get free, but it is so hard to peel yourself away. God is saying he wants you to create a net of support around you. People who pray, people who you can use the power of confession and forgiveness, and those who are faithful to pray for you and support you and not judge you. Now, let me pray for you as well. Lord, in Jesus' name, I release your power and your presence and your keys into each person listening to really get free from codependency in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. A simple but powerful prayer, and the prayer of a righteous woman avails much in Jesus' name. I have an encounter tool with you that's a free resource for you. Go to drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent. And it's a tool for self-parenting with Jesus. And it's a tool that leads you into an encounter that is healing in these places of codependency. So again, that's drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent. I want to encourage you to follow me on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, and in all the places that you listen to podcasts. I have lots of content. I put out content all throughout the week that is free. And for those of you that want to go deeper, and if you are a female, contact me at, or go to drbarbaraministries.org/experience. And you can join the Heart Journey Mentoring and Community Experience, where I meet with a group of women online every Sunday night for teaching every other week and coaching the juxtaposed every other week. And we also have prayer every Friday afternoon or evening. We rotate. I love you. I am with you. I'm doing this. I'm podcasting because the Lord has called me to help to manifest, or for him, my calling is to see the brokenhearted healed. And it's the presence of Jesus and the calling of Jesus and the power of Jesus through my life that he is wanting to manifest through me. And this is why I podcast. I love you, and I'll see you in the next podcast. Thank you so much for being with me today. Again, make sure you check out that free resource at drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent. I'm with you. I love you.